I am unashamed. What about you?
When you
that might bring you some consternation.
When you start getting mistaken for your dad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what it was. But I put a lot of white in my beard now, and so they'll say, you know, when you grow your beard, you look a lot like your dad. And so I know what that means.
Yeah, that's devastating.
They sent a cameraman down here and took all these pictures.
Here, put your earphones on, Phil, because we can't hear you. Earphones.
Yeah, I know, right? I was going to be on the page, but they went with this one. I said, that's a pretty pathetic looking picture right there.
Phil, you're seemingly happy.
Huh?
Jace was impressed with that.
I thought you looked happy on this.
Yeah, one of yours is that one on that poster. You got the eye squinted.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird time of my life. Yeah. And I thought
you were making a statement.
I was trying to make
you
a
were going
look.
Like, let me just.
It was like a.
And I'm looking like an old craggy old, you know, I'll call it the craggy look.
Yeah, the cigar store Indian. That's a dad.
Oh, I don't know how we digress. This conversation started before we were, because I cut my hair.
We weren't ourselves yet.
Well, my wife kept saying, oh, you know Willie cut his hair. You know Willie cut his hair. I was like, why do you keep telling me that? Who cares? And she's like, well, I thought you might get a trim. I was like, look, let me just tell you about men. We don't follow trends like, oh, my brother got a haircut. Let me go rush.
Well, Crosby, she said, Stills, and Nash wrote a song about it the other day. I just think another day, I almost cut my hair. But I think the whole song was, I was fixing to cash in and give it up. But then I thought, no. So he kept his hair. He didn't cut it. But he thought about it.
I'm going to take your word for it. I don't remember that song.
Yeah, well, that's for your time, Grace.
Yeah. So that's when everybody was a long hair.
Let me just give you how to do that. Because she said, well, I'll cut it for you. But I just thought that was might be a combustible situation.
So did she cut it for you?
No, I cut it.
Oh.
So I'll tell you how to do it. You basically get in a mirror, grab the scissors, and then I turned around and looked, and it was halfway down my back.
I
didn't know it was that long. So I just grabbed half, pulled over, and then just cut it. Then I grabbed the other half, cut it, turned around.
Seems simple enough.
Yeah, but the hard part was it created a long rooster tail because I couldn't reach it.
In the middle was still
so
up.
I grabbed the middle, came over the top, pulled it straight up, and just guessed and cut it. And then I looked around, made two little trims to where I had butchered. The whole process took 60 seconds. So
why would you ever go to a barber?
I haven't. I love barbers because I'm sure they're nice people. But I'm like, what do you need them for?
I haven't been to a barber shop in 50 years. And, well, what am I talking about? In 60 years.
Well, the last time I went was.
Not even when I was a kid, though. We didn't go to the barber. Ma cut it.
What about when you were in college? Because you had the flat top, kind of the. Somebody must have done
it's a
that.
Good question. Who was cutting my hair?
Had to have been somebody. Well, see, you could have done that to yourself.
The last time I shaved.
I was a clean cut looking dude.
You were.
When I was
all American. 8 to 10 years ago, you know, besides 2 years ago, I did it myself. But about 10 years ago, there used to be. Remember the old place that used to be right down there
Mayo.
From the church? Yeah. Well, they moved across from the grocery store.
Oh, no, that's another one I'm thinking of.
So I walked in. Now, I hadn't.
Yeah, I forgot we used to go there.
But I'm telling you, I was on a few year run here. Of where no maintenance. So I walked in and I looked over there and there was a sign hanging up said haircuts $15. And
ooh, that seems pretty steep.
No, Phil, that's cheap. That's cheap. I think most women, when they get their haircut, it's hundreds of
dollars. $150 for Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
You have got to be kidding.
So they said $15, but I could see it in his eyes. He was looking at me thinking, that's not enough.
See, I actually have.
You were like a big old boy coming to the buffet, right? Only all you can eat. They're looking at that situation and saying, you know what? We're fixing to get hit.
I said,
hard.
I'll tell you this.
For the first time in 50 years, at least, Jace, you brought it up, but I'm serious when I'm saying this. I've never thought about a barber shop or hair being cut. I just hadn't.
Well, this had the red, white, and blue thing outside.
The barber pole.
Yeah, and I like these old guys. And what they did, they used a straight razor and put some kind of heated foam on you. And, I mean,
your neck. It was nice.
I mean, I was a little nervous about a guy with a straight razor around my neck just because of the, I guess you see these movies where that usually spells doom for you. But,
crazed barbershop movies. I don't know what movies you're watching.
Well, I'm just saying, that's when you're vulnerable. So I said, I tell you what I'll do. I said, if you'll cut this to look like everybody else and shave, I'll pay you double. Because
said this?
I did.
Told yourself that?
No, I told the barber that because he was looking at me like I was just reading his mind thinking, $15, you're fixed to get your money's worth, you know, because I have a lot to cut. There's a lot.
There's a lot going on.
This is like a lawnmower, man. Look, going over and looking at a yard.
That's waist deep.
Yeah, that hasn't been cut in 8 years.
Yep.
So I was reading his mind. That's not what they're designed. You come in every couple of weeks and get a trim, they charge $15.
Snip, snip. Yep.
I come in there, they need a bush hog. And they got to rent some equipment. These little, because he kept getting tangled up in my hair. And he was like, "Boy, you have a lot of knots in there." I said, "Cut it out. Just cut. Don't try to go around it."
That's some lack of a brush going through it.
Brush my hair in 10 years. Yep. You know? So, I don't know how we got off into
standard grooming practices.
I'm not too much into hair.
Yeah. I mean, it's biblical.
But for years, Dad, you had a guy that goes to church with us that is a barber, and he came down here and cut your hair. Remember that? That whole era. That's back when you were still kind of, you know, giving a crap about what, you know, you still had a little something going on there to how you look. That's where you just pushed in the chips.
I've gone off the edge now.
It's like, I don't think your dad's.
I never look in the mirror looking for something now.
But what's funny
is, I think that's a good idea. Once you get over 70, I would break all mirrors.
Yeah.
What do you need them for? You're only going to get depressed.
Yeah, I have looked in the mirror a few times, and all I came away with, whoa. I mean, I just saw me, and I thought, it's about over.
Well, like you said, you get book titles now.
I think when you reach a certain age, the two things you should should completely do away with are clocks and mirrors.
I'm there.
What do you need a clock for?
I'm there.
You don't need a clock.
You don't need a calendar?
Never owned a watch in my life.
You don't
want
to see a calendar?
You're almost where you don't even need a vehicle. I mean, you will again, but right now, except just a motor tool around here.
The days are passing me by here. I haven't been to town at all in 3 months, 3.5 months, maybe.
Well, I've had many arguments about, I think when people get over 60, they shouldn't be able to drive. We should have some kind of service where, and look, I'm saying that I'm 50. I'm fixed to be 60. I know I'm offending all these people, but I think if it's, I don't know, some kind of program or have people in your family, because they're it's a problem on the highways. You know, you see cars backed up or you see people swerving all over the road. You get up there and you say, yep, shouldn't be driving. Too old.
Seinfeld said just the opposite. He said your speed limit should be your age. So –
what does that mean?
I mean, if you're 16, that's as fast as you can go. But if you're 80, you just get out of their way.
Yeah, but they all drive too slow.
Well, I know. That's what he said. He said we need to flip that. The young ones need to be driving slow. The old people just let them
live. I'm more supportive of that than what we have. Like,
it actually occurred to me after watching on the television what's going on in the cities, Al, I just concluded – I don't want to go to a city anymore.
You've been to a town.
I've been there. I don't want to go there.
That's funny.
Well, you know.
I want nothing to do with it.
You know, and I don't know when it's going to change. Your book is releasing in August, and usually we go to New York and do these shows and stuff. But, you know, now it's so crazy. I don't know. They're all still doing the Skype stuff. We may do all that stuff from right here. By the way, Jesus Politics Book. .com is where you go to pre-order Dad's book, and I'm not sure if the demand has been really high, so the first 2,000 may be already done, but you get a signed copy.
Tell you this, it gives new meaning to the word politics.
It does. It's really good. It's a solid
book. I need
to
read it.
Yeah. I gave you a copy, huh?
I haven't read it yet. Oh, yeah. I've been busy.
You got to, you're busy. You need to read it and give us a book review on the our online. Well, you know,
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. No, I'm going to tell you whatever I think.
You're a man of your word.
I don't mind any chastisement. I don't mind any negative remarks. I'm like, I stand by what I said there.
What's weird is I'm going to write a book. I'm in the process.
Well, good.
And it's same subject, except not politics. It's just Jesus.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. But it made me think.
We said it jokingly, said Jay's could name his Jesus No Politics, where ours is Jesus Politics.
But
the tagline is How to Win Back the Soul of America, which is kind of goes off of your last book.
It's part two.
And this is a lot
who
more.
Who stole it?
Yeah, exactly. And this is more of a kingdom. I would call it a kingdom oriented.
The evil one is stealing our soul and has done a pretty good job of it, I might add. Yeah. I'm sorry to say. This one is more or less, how do you climb out of this?
Is it positive?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's positive.
It is positive. Very positive.
Oh, I like positive. It.
I think you're going to like it. It's really kingdom oriented. In fact, when we first started working on it, we were coming out of the parables, which we still use a lot of them, Jesus's parables. Because you notice all those kingdom parables, they had a lot of principles that if you could just apply that in every aspect of life, including government, I mean, we'd be in such a better situation.
Don't you love how Jesus used parables? You know, they define parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
Yeah.
One of the things that comes out of that book, when we didn't stress it last time, Jace, but if you want to, here's one that you can start with. Jesus is talking. You need food that endures to eternal life. They were all wanting more grub, the fish and the loaf, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, Jesus talking about himself, the Father has placed his seal of approval.
Yeah.
Jesus had more titles, creator, start there, sinless, miracle worker, the way, the truth, the life, the king, the prophet, the savior, the intercessor, the resurrection, the reconciler, the guarantee, the ultimate servant, immortal, I mean, redeemer, healer. You're like,
I like the alpha, and the omega.
Alpha and the omega.
The first and the last.
Yeah. How many titles have you ever known of an individual, Jace, with that many titles, that what's the word? When you start talking creator, you're like, whoa,
that encompassing.
Well, let me tell you what you need.
How in the world does one man gain that many titles? Think about it.
I know what you need to be able to have that many titles. You know, we're going to discuss John 7, and I'm jumping way ahead in verse 21.
Go ahead and jump, Jace.
But Jesus said to them, now they were having an argument because, you know, he did a miracle. But they're like, well, you can't do it on the Sabbath. You know, we've talked about that. Yeah. But my point is when Jesus said to him in John 7:21, I did one miracle. I mean, I just feel like that was the tone. I did one little miracle, you know, without the little one miracle. And you are all astonished, you know, but they were astonished because something amazing happened, but it didn't fit their narrative because it was a Sabbath, and so that, you know, threw them for a loop. But just that one statement, I think, is what they missed. If you can do one miracle, if you can just do one, which is always my answer when people say, do you believe in miracles? I say, I get it from this verse. I say, I believe in at least one. Because the implication was what he was trying to say. They missed. If I could do one miracle, just think of what I could do. If you can do one, you can do anything.
As many as you want to.
As many as you want. And my point is, that's how you get so many titles. Because you have no limits in what your capabilities are as compared to how much.
It's a good explanation of why one man could receive so many titles.
I'm telling you.
It is.
Thomas Jefferson bought everything about Jesus but one thing.
The miracles.
He just could not.
Well, I hate to tell you this.
He wrote a Bible, Bible. Yeah. And he got it all the way down. Jesus died and was buried, and I got ready, but I noticed we're right at the end of his Bible. And I said, Oh, my
stop,
goodness.
Stop short
Thomas,
of the resurrection.
Thomas, Shirley, come on out. He could not believe the miraculous. The teachings and watching Jesus' life, this is how you live. This is, he said, I'm in line. But once we got to the resurrection of his body from the grave, once it got there, Jefferson said,
well,
no.
Hang on, listen.
It really hurt my soul when I read his Bible and he left that out.
Well, especially because you respect him so much. Let's take a quick break. So in these times of, I guess you'd call them economic uncertainty, you know, this thing is like a roller coaster. We've been talking about the stock market and the coronavirus and businesses open. So everybody's kind of having to watch their P's and Q's, although I think it is pretty amazing how resilient America is just to shut it all down and then just crank it all back up. I mean, it's been a wild ride is what I would call it. So one of our sponsors is a company called Patriot Mobile. And so they're actually lowering their price because they realize people need to have lower prices, not higher ones during this time. So you can start out on their family plan. They have a cell phone coverage for $25 is their customized. It begins at $25. So Patriot Mobile, we like it because they're kind of like us. They're a conservative group of people. They support conservative causes, things that we like. Big Mobile has not exactly been a conservative's best friend. So you might want to check these guys out. Patriot Mobile. If you use the offer code PHIL, you're going to get free activation, a free gift when you sign up with these guys. PatriotMobile.com/PHIL. Or you can call them 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. So check it out. Starts at $25. See if you guys can save some money with their coverage.
Oh, I had a two-hour, I was going to say argument, but my wife and I at this point, we don't really argue. It was a heated discussion, a good heated discussion, because she asked me about 1 Corinthians where it says, you know, God gave some the ability to, and it goes through this whole list. Well, at the end it says the gifts of healing, you know, I think speaking in tongues.
By the way, Jason, that was sanctioned. It was sanctioned when y'all were being raised by myself and your mama. It was sanctioned that if you want to make a point and raise your voice, remember I said, that's fine. You want to raise your voice because you're excited or you're intimidated or whatever, go ahead. You can speak loudly. But remember, guys, I told y'all when you were boys, I said, it must not come to blows. I said, your difference of opinion, make your point loudly, that's fine. I said, but there's a fine line. If it turns to blows, that's when I step in.
Well, we were discussing. She had heard a sermon. You know, we watch now with the coronavirus. I think we watch 3 or 4 services on a Sunday morning from various groups, you know. And so one of the sermons we heard was basically about kind of having a moment like Acts 2, you know, including the miraculous. And so it spawned a conversation about Corinthians, where you had a group of people who had the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I mean the miraculous gifts, you know. And so I started, she was asking me,
Paul had laid his hands on some of them.
All right. And look, I know this is a deep dive to get off into that, but I was like, but look, you got to remember something about the Corinthians. This was basically our argument. I was like, what was his major thrust, regardless of what we think about how that works? Which, let me just say for those listening, if God wants to do something, oh, he'll do it. You know, I'm not one of these types of people who try to read the Bible and then say God can't do anything. Well, he can do whatever he wants to. You know, if he wants to do a miracle in 5 minutes, okay. And so I'm not that type of person. But I was trying to explain that the Corinthians were so caught up in the excitement of having that ability, which is what I'm referencing when Jesus said, you know, I did one miracle. And that group of people, the Pharisees, they weren't caught up in that excitement. They weren't even impressed. They were arguing. Well, people who see Jesus for who he is, there's some excitement that happens. And when you get that kind of power, well, what was the thrust of Corinthians? What did he when you look at it, when it gets down to the end, what was his main? If you took three things away from the whole book of 1 Corinthians, I would put these three. You can be classified as a church and have made a lot of mistakes. That's the first thing I take. Because these people, there's no sin that is not mentioned. And he was considering them the church.
Yep.
The second
and
thing
he addressed them as brothers.
The second thing was, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, he said, after all this stuff that you're going through, stick with faith, hope, and love. Mainly love. And then the third thing was, he reminded them of the gospel of Jesus. Who Jesus is and what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. So I told her, I was like, no matter what we think on how, you know, modern day miracles or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, up against the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is a big difference there. You have miracles versus these traits, these character traits, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So no matter what you think on how that works, don't miss those three big things of the because that's what the Corinthians miss. They miss the grace of God. They miss we need to be pursuing faith, hope, and love in our life. And we need to make the gospel of Jesus as the focus. You know. So that was our discussion.
So I don't guess whether there was a winner in the discussion or just an agree to disagree.
She started getting quiet at the end, which I took that as.
When a woman gets quiet, always means, remember, my son, things are looking up.
Yeah.
Remember William Shakespeare, a situation, Jace, becomes a crisis when cattle or women stampede.
He didn't say that. I don't know where you got that. I actually quoted you quoting that.
I thought it was William Shakespeare. Now, it might have been somebody else of antiquity. I'm not quite sure.
I'm going to use a word that's foreign to you. It's called Google. And I looked it up, and it doesn't give that. It doesn't give the credit to William.
Always remember, say Google is not all
knowing. It doesn't
knowing.
Say it. Well, says, it says unknown.
Unknown?
Yeah,
unknown.
Yeah.
Unknown.
Well, we could if we had the little Alexa thing, we could ask her, which I did last night. Somebody made some big deal about Elon Musk. He named, you know, he's the owner of Tesla. Are you familiar with him?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Well, he named one of his kids.
He's about halfway a genius from what I can tell.
Well, wait till you hear this and you might change your opinion.
All right.
Mr. Genius named one of his kids a mathematical equation. He named his kid. It's like A1, you know, X. I'm just making this up, but it's like X1 to the half.
Could be a genius point. With issues.
So
don't most geniuses have issues? So that's part of the problem.
Yeah. So my son, who's highly intelligent, is, you know, he graduated Pepperdine.
He's about halfway a genius himself, from what I hear.
And his girlfriend.
Is this boy of yours that smart?
Yeah, he's smart. So his girlfriend, who's smarter than he is, they came over for supper last night because Cole's back in town. He went and picked her up. She's from, you know, South Louisiana.
If he's that smart, he have two lineages that he could have come from, Robertson and West, your woman. So where do you think the brain power, or is it a 50-50 deal? Or
I'm going to say
where all that brain power, because I'm sitting here as a C-plus man, solid C-plus, but I'm smarter than half of them smarter than me, I'm in the middle, I feel good about it. But your boy, he's on up there. He's in that.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not very smart. So I'm saying we're all made in the image of God. And because he didn't get it from me. And I'm not making a comment about my wife, you know, in front of a national audience. She's the smartest woman I know.
Well, maybe that's where they
Well, she chose Jesus and she chose me. I ain't worried about
it. Maybe your bloodline just tempered. The brain power slightly, so he could function in a society without being called.
So here's what happened.
What's that? Well, go back to your guy.
Well, let me tell my story here.
A mathematical equation. So what would that be if you name your child?
Well, so we're all having a discussion about it. Now you've got two highly intellectual people, my son and his girlfriend, who I'm over there with my phone.
Is his girlfriend as smart as he is?
Smarter.
Yo.
Yeah. So look, I'm over there during the conversation Googling definitions for the words, some of the words they're using.
You mean you're trying to figure out what they're talking about?
I don't even know. I'm like, I've never heard that word, you know? And I was like,
well, so it wasn't for Google. Jay's not even being in the conversation.
So finally, we're having this discussion about it. And I'm like, and they're like, well, how do you pronounce, Mrs. Love? What do they call their kit? And so I had a brilliant idea because they got this thing, you know, the woman that you talked to, the computer woman, Alexa. I said, well, let's ask her.
The fountain of knowledge.
And so I said, what? How many kids? Well, he has six kids. We got that. She kept repeating the same thing. Well, I started raising my voice because I was getting frustrated. I was like, what are the name of the kids? You know, I'm having – they're all kind of laughing about it. And I was trying to phrase the question.
Only you would argue with Alexa.
So finally I said – what is the oldest kid? You know, I was trying to say what she's going to say on how you pronounce it. And finally, I hit the right question. I can't remember what it was. And she went like A1X1043.
That's what he named his child?
Yeah. So I thought, what's wrong with these people? You know? Now, how do you think this kid is going to grow up? And hey, A1X1034. I thought that was bizarre.
It's more than bizarre.
Okay, so
and they wonder why I don't fool with computers.
No, it had nothing to do with the computer.
Yeah, that's where all this stuff
comes
from.
Well, when you break,
you wouldn't know anything about it.
Well, when you break down the equation, like the first part of it is like the Japanese equation for love,
and then
another part was like the greatest artificial intelligence invention.
I just want to know just from hearing that. What are they going to call him around the house?
That's what
can't call him X Y Y C O T. I mean, whatever you call him.
No, that's well, what. What's
where they're going to call him?
That's what they're
going to
call
him. If it were me, I'd call him X-Man.
X-Man.
X-Man. I mean, that would be a cool nickname. Let's take a break. So, one of my favorite sponsors of our program is a group called Omega XL. And Dad and I have been taking the product. I've probably been taking it twice as long as you have.
I told old Sister Drunk about that yesterday.
Did you?
I told him, I said, the only pill I take, I don't take pharmaceuticals. None.
Right.
Zero. Correct. I said, the only pill I'm taking is from the pristine waters of New Zealand.
There you go.
Fish oil.
That's right.
Some it's kind of
mussels.
Fish.
Mussels.
Mussels. Mussels.
It's extract, yeah, mussels. It's extract from mussels that are literally farmed off New Zealand's coast. Which is pretty incredible, the whole process. You go to their website, you can check these guys out. They'll give you their research and everything, how they came up with this. Omega XL, what it really helps with the most is inflammation, back, neck, shoulder, leg pain, that sort of thing. Jason, let's face it, we're golfers. We got a lot of inflammation.
These tablets do not make a 74-year-old man look like he's 50. No.
No. That's just helps take away some inflammation.
Let's be realistic here.
That's
it
right.
Just knocks down a little inflammation, a little aches and joints and the pain.
And it also helps with your immune system. It promotes that as well. So Omega XL is what it's called. Dad and I both recommend it.
The only pill I take.
So OmegaXL.com/Phil. If you order now, you're gonna pay for one bottle, you get the second bottle free, which is a good deal. OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can call them 800-844-4888. All right, so X-Man, I guess we got that solved.
No, so the point is...
what was your point?
I don't know.
When you're telling your stories, it's so much better for the listener to have a point.
My point was, in John 7, they looked at Jesus and said, in verse 15, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? So you see my point?
Mm-hmm.
My point is what we deem is smart is trumped by, number one, if you have the ability to do a miracle, well, you're obviously going to be smarter by any definition than everyone else.
The smartest there is.
And they're like, well, that's not based on intellect. That's based on power. But you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, because he's all knowledgeable and all powerful.
Okay. Now, that's where I was going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so definition of being smart is from a human perspective, it's usually a waste of
time. So we talked about this, Jace, because
John, that's been proven out, by the way, by their behavior.
True. John 7, what's so interesting about the whole chapter, which is kind of what we're looking at now, because it kind of just builds on itself, coming out of some of these miracles that he's done. But a couple of podcasts ago, we put it in his household, because his own family, his brothers, didn't really get him. You know, they were misunderstanding, like the public was, that Jesus was just trying to make a name for himself. Mm-hmm. You know, remember
how many times do you think his brothers looked at each other when he would make a comment or say something? How many times do you figure this happened out? They're like.
Yeah.
How many times?
Oh, I bet it happened all the time because they marveled at, they knew he was different, obviously, but then.
But they didn't believe in him.
They didn't believe in him.
It's like where you started. You talked about all these titles, and which is kind of where I was going. I mean, you remember when he told, he made the reference about John the Baptist, which is where we started, about how he looked. And he says, you know, well, John the Baptist, you claim he is, this is in Matthew 11, you claim he is a demon possessed.
As a demon.
Because he lives in the wilderness and eats bugs. And he rants and raves about repentance, you know. And he's like, but here I come, friendly, more social, and you call me a glutton and a drunkard. Which they didn't realize what kind of accusation that is. You're accusing the creator of the universe, who actually created you, as being just a slob.
The worst of you.
And a sinful.
Yeah.
So Jesus made that one statement.
That's a couple of more titles they gave him, a glutton and a drunkard.
Yeah, add that to your titles.
I think that's
what I'm saying. Profound. I've never seen things stick to one individual as many and as much as all these titles, good and bad, to one individual. He had to have been doing something earth-shattering, or they wouldn't have behaved that way.
That's right. It's these little comments that we read. And that's why, really, even the guy who names his kid a mathematical equation, you know, I wanted to name our first kid Cypress Creek because – hear me out on this. This was a
Cypress.
No. Look.
CC.
Because when you change your life, I mean, you know, God found you in the bar. You come to Jesus in an effort, you know, to make a break from your past.
Yep.
You move to the middle of nowhere.
Been there.
Started over.
Done that.
Well, the name of the road was Mouth of Cypress Creek. And so I thought, that'll be a good story to tell our kid, you know, later on in life, we come here and say, you know, you were named, because look, I'm named after Cy, which I've had to carry that. Some people are born.
Sometime unbearable load.
Yeah. And but this is spelled differently, and we'd call him Cy.
By the way.
But C-Y.
I recommended when Cy hollered from the bank of the river, I'm out in the river and he's on the bank. He said, Miss K's having that baby. It was you, Jace, he was talking about.
I know. And I'm painful story.
The trot line. I turned around. I said, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
This is pre-Christian days.
Highly offensive to all women.
So I said, well, what do you want to name him? I said, name him after you. And I kept baiting my line, and he just tore out of there sideways because he was thinking, all right.
Yeah. Now.
We got another Silas coming. Fields we bar. Did.
So anyway, my point was, so I told Missy that, and I was passionate about it, and so she broke down and started crying. She's like, I cannot name.
She cried?
She cried, because I was really passionate. I thought, this is it. We came up with the name.
No, we didn't. No. You came up with
it. So his name is Reed Silas. So guess what? I had to pull back on that one, the Cypress Creek, because she's like, why would you name a kid Creek? I was like, what's that Western, you know, Creek Johnson? I was like, people have been named after creeks in life. It's not a bad thing.
I must say that if your address is Mouth of Cypress Creek Road, you know, Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana, there's probably not a whole lot waiting on you at the end of the letter. You know what I'm saying? I'm a righteous old guy. He lived down there on the mouth of Cypress Creek Road.
The power of God took this place.
Maybe so.
And wow, it doesn't matter where you live or where you're from.
I used to live next to a street called Easy Street. Everybody says, I want to get on Easy. There was actually a street called Easy Street. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'd want to name my kid that. That's hey, where.
I relented. She won. And I don't have a problem, but I still think it was cool.
Have you ever asked Reed what would you have thought if
he didn't? Well, it's hard. I did ask him, and he was like, "You know, thank God for Mom." That's what he said.
And I was just like, curious as to what he thought about that. If he had thought, "Man, it would have been cool to be named at Cypress Creek."
Who likes her name anyway? You know,
that is true.
I mean, I'm like, well, it's because you are who you are now, and so you got to own it. But I think if his name had been Cypress Creek, everything would have been fine. There wouldn't have been any difference because wisdom is proved right by our actions, which is my point. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's take another break. So, Jace, what's the number one sign of a bad home security system?
The number one sign of a bad home security system is when you got robbed and you didn't know it.
That's a good answer. What would you say to that, Dad? What's the number one sign of a bad home security system?
Number one sign as you go out there sitting on the porch looking at the ground saying, boy, I wish I'd had some cameras around here before that happened. Some way of knowing.
Yeah, now see, that's the guys that simply say it, that's kind of what they say. They say the answer is a home security system that's so complicated you never use it. I mean, that's the one, right? Most of them are like that, and unfortunately, you need some cameras.
I thought we had this thing around the security here. Yeah.
Somebody shoots up your gate, and you go look at your cameras, and they aren't working. That's not good. So you need, if you're going to have a home security system, it needs to be working. I mean, that's kind of the—
I would just simply say, in my case, never, ever, you two or anybody else, come scratching on my screens or say no. I'll just barge in there and then surprise him at 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't do that.
No, okay. We're not going to. Trust
deal.
Me.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's going to work. So our friends at Simply Safe, which, by the way, was the best overall home security system of 2020, according to U.S. News & World Report. So it's pretty good. These guys do a good job. They want to help protect your home, get you some cameras. It's easy. It's not hard to do. SimplySafe.com/unashamed. Get free shipping. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee, which is pretty awesome.
So, in this current environment, Al, based on what we're witnessing in the country, you need one of those.
You need some cameras and you need a good
system. I guarantee you.
SimplySafe.com/unashamed. Check them out. So why was I named Marshall then, since we're already in?
You'll have to ask him. Well, he wasn't around, so you'll have to ask Mom.
Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Yeah, shocking.
Well, I've
we named you Marshall Allen after Allen Ladd.
I knew about the Western Star.
And the Western, with a little boy, Shane.
Yeah, so, and which is pretty cool because I like Allen Ladd. Yeah. But I just wanted Marshall. Now, Mom's name is Marsha. Was I named after Mom?
Possible.
Just add an L to it?
I didn't name you.
So he named me, sort of. Now, what I wanted to say is in John 7.
I love when we dive deep into that era of Dad's life. Because, like,
look, we have passed.
We
you
have
know?
Passed.
But, don't stay back in there too long.
But luckily, the Lord forgives
the
us.
The Lord forgives us.
Now, I brought up this about the Spirit and when he said this one miracle, because very few times, I guess, in the New Testament, and if, you know, technically, I guess John is not. Even though whoever came out with this Bible put New Testament, if you read Hebrews, you know, the New Testament comes into play when the one giving it dies.
Right.
You know, he doesn't die till the latter
right.
Part of the book.
This is just his story.
Well, right. Man. But what I wanted to say is there's a profound statement in John 7. It's like you're reading, you're getting to know Jesus, you're seeing what people think about him, and John 7 is perfect because you're really seeing what different people think about him and his personality is coming out. And then all of a sudden, you get to verse 37, and it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him, which is a similar statement that he made in John 4 to the woman at the well, this right. living water.
Right.
Now, this rare, profound moment comes from the next verse. So I would say the Holy Spirit interjected in the writing of this to John. And then he makes this profound statement, which says, by this, he meant the Spirit, capital S, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that moment, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, this is what caused the discussion between me and my wife, because she was like, we brought this verse up. She didn't know we were going to do this in the podcast. We were just, we were talking about this. It's just like, well, wait a minute. What about all the times where the Spirit, you know, one of the things that came up is when the donkey talked, remember the Balaam. Spirit, came on the donkey, I guess? And so I said, well, look, babe, you're getting into some difficult things to explain. And with our human capabilities. But I said, if I took some milk and I poured it on you, that would be way different than you taking some milk and pouring it in you. It'd be two different things. Right. All right, you had a glass of milk. The other one has caused a fight. But so I said, the way I've tried to understand the role of the Spirit and how it works and my limited capabilities, even having said, if the Spirit wants to move any way it wants, well, who am I to say it has to be this way or that way? So I'm not going to do that. But it seems like when you read a statement like that, the Spirit was going to be made available to actually ingest, indwell. But, using my analogy. And so then you're back into this fruit of the Spirit versus gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I've always looked at it, and I'll welcome your comments, that the outward part of it, the gifts, is kind of the Spirit being unleashed from heaven or wherever. And the Holy Spirit in your life, in your body, in your soul, in your united with your spirit, is more about these characters, traits, love, joy, peace, faith. I mean, what do you think?
There's one little phrase that gives much credence to your point. He said, the fruit of the Spirit, which you will receive when you're born again. He said, they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One little phrase there, Jace. Under this, there all these qualities, there is no law.
Galatians 5:22.
Yeah, there is no law. In other words, if you operate by the power, if you behave, and these qualities come forth from you, you say, against such things, there is no law. You never violate the law if these qualities keep coming forth from you. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful thing, because you got one thing, rules, but this is talked about qualities of an individual, the last one being self-control. Yeah. You're like, those without the Spirit are impossible to achieve. You won't see those qualities without the Spirit. That's why human beings always have this quest to do what's right, do good, and don't do this, and don't do that. The one rule after top of another. He said, God's saying, look, you receive my Spirit, I will help you. These qualities will come forth from you, and they cover the whole one end to the other, life itself, those qualities. So those who live by the Spirit, they're being led by the Spirit, and all the rest of the verses that go with it. You say, is it that simple? Those qualities, listed are hard to come by, Al.
So do you believe?
Hang on, Jess. Let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war. In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So do you believe in Acts 2, you know, they come together, because he said they later would receive the Spirit, all right? So then in Acts 1, which is kind of humorous, they, in verse 6, they say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they're like, well, you've been raised from the dead. Are we taking over? I mean, was the question. And he said, it is not for you to know the times and dates, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So I know that he's referencing this same little moment that we said about the Spirit. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been, what was the phrase it said? Were later to receive. So then in Acts 2, this crazy thing happens on the day of Pentecost. All of a sudden, there's wind,
fire.
I want to say earth, but no. I guess there's heaven, wind, and fire. Now, that's the group you want to be with.
Yes, exactly right.
And so, which is what I'm saying, like, because a lot of people, when I try to explain this to people, they're like, oh, so you don't believe in the miraculous? I'm like, no. I mean, if I hear a big wind and I see some fire
on top of people's heads.
On top of people's head. Trust me, God will have my full attention.
That's a happening.
At that moment, I'm like, okay, this is happening now. And so.
And the whole house was shaking, by the way.
And so then these people start speaking in a language they haven't studied, or the people heard their own language from
whatever
was going on there. Peter gets up, and this is what the same reference about Corinthians. What was the point of all this? To me, which this is our discussion, you know, Missy and I said, what was the point of all that? Was the point to try to go recreate that? And look, if it happens, great. If right now the wind blows the things open and fire comes out, I'm like, all right, we got another spirit pouring out. You know,
something's going to happen.
I said, what was the point? It seems like to me, the point of what was going on, looking at it from 30,000 feet, is you got all these Jews from all these different countries are gathered up, and they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these men have some kind of power from God Almighty. Indisputable.
How do they know our language is what they're saying.
And there's fire, there's wind. I mean, what in the world? And so Peter gets up, and he introduces Jesus. Well, because they're listening. He got their attention.
And by the way, not everybody saw it as a spiritual happening, because a lot of people looked at it. You know what they thought? They said, these guys are drunk.
Well, right.
I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, remember, because they're like, evidently, I don't know if their interpretation of what they were hearing, it come across to them as they were drunk.
Fixing to happen when they spoke in these various languages and everybody says, they're from Galilee, how do they know our language? And they're seeing all these things. Peter stands up. Basically, Jace, what he's telling me is the message that I'm fixing to proclaim to you, as Joel the prophet said, is going worldwide. This is going worldwide. And look, if you look at it carefully, it did go worldwide.
It did.
To this day, we're living proof of it. We're still here.
I just wanted to read this one phrase. So he introduces Jesus, which is salvation.
Then he told them, by the way, the message on how they could receive power.
The same as the Corinthians deal. He's like, don't forget the gospel. Now. I mean, so he preached the same sermon. And then they're like, what do we do? You know, he said, famous response, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus that he had just declared for the forgiveness of your sins. But then notice this phrase. and the word I want to zero in on is, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because in John 7, this little, you know, passage that is just thrown in here, when he said, by this he meant the Spirit, John 7:39, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Yep. Well, I am 100% convinced that this in Acts 2 is in reference to this in John 7. Would you agree?
I would agree.
And so then he said, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus hadn't been glorified. It doesn't mean he wasn't working, because we have all these stories. But now it was made available.
Even the apostles performing miracles. But I don't think that the Spirit indwelled them until later.
Something happened when that Spirit was poured out. We lost a light. Maybe it was a spiritual thing. You're just listening, one of our lights just went out here. So that could be a bad sign with what we're discussing. If it comes back on after I read this, we're in business. But it says in verse, right before he said, you know, what did we do in Acts 2? Repent, be baptized, you know, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch what he said in verse 33. In his introduction of Jesus, he said he was also exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. And now here's the phrase I want, and has poured out what you now see and hear.
By the way, one little interesting point here. I would say that it's a pretty fair argument to make. Over in John 7, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Whoever believes in me. When Peter preached Jesus, him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, they were cut to the heart, and a lot of them had been there to crucify him, and they said, what do we do? Well, when he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, the reason he said that in the name of Jesus was that so the Spirit could be received through him. As the scriptures have said, streams of living water, whoever believes in him. So he's making sure the one that provides the power of the Spirit is God the Father, God the Son,
yeah,
and the Spirit.
Yeah.
I think there's a connection there.
Exactly.
No other name was going to do it for him.
The problem is in John 7 here, when you look at their attitude, I mean, we already mentioned in verse 15, they basically accused him of being ignorant, because they were like, how did this man get such learning, you know, without wisdom? Then in verse 20, you know, and Jesus responded to that. He said, oh, I come from, you know, God. So then they're like, oh, we got it. You're demon possessed after that response. So then after he gives them another explanation. And so then they accuse, or they try to seize him then. But that's in verse 30. But then he miraculously, they were not able to do that. And so then it says, well, some put their faith in him. But after all that, he goes to the streams of living water. And then they get down to the end in verse 52, the last verse. Then they're like, well, wait a minute. He's from Galilee. Well, he can't be.
Yeah.
He can't be from God. I mean, isn't that something, how everything he did, everything he said was completely true and right. And they're trying to accuse him, seize him. And then they're like, in the end, no, he's from Galilee. Nothing good
and
comes
look,
out of there.
Then each went to his own home. They hit the road.
That's right. So we're out of time for the podcast. Although I still want to make a point that I didn't get to make. So we're going to do a little bonus for you guys that are on the Blaze TV. Mm-hmm. You'll get a little bonus material.
Bonus footage.
Yeah, exactly. So by the way, if you want to do that, LiveView has subscribed. It's blazetv.com/unashamed. And use the code Jace or Phil to subscribe. You get in the woods and a lot of other stuff. So to our Unashamed Nation, I appreciate you guys tuning in today.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.